Now, in a letter to all TDs last night, the new Crown Court of Verona Murphy said there was a precedent for independents and to who support the government to speak from opposition benches, and that any move to exclude an independent TD from a technical group would require a change to the rules of the Dáil. She based that letter on legal advice she received, which was seen by our colleague in the newsroom, political correspondent Micheál Lehan. She said she wasn't in a position to unilaterally make a change to the rules, and she's looking for submissions to be made to the Dáil's business committee. We'll go to you first, Marie Sherlock, on this. I think your colleague Duncan Smith sits on the business committee, but what's your reaction to the legal advice published by the legal advice to the Ciarán Cóirlí, which has been seen by Micheál Lehan? What do you think of that?
Well, we haven't seen the legal advice. We've only seen the letter from the Ciarán Cóirlí. I think, as our party whip described today, it's a political stroke. It makes a mockery of the Dáil, to be frank, and it's utterly unacceptable. Like, at the end of the day, we had
Just to clarify, you're going to, there's just an important distinction. What you're saying there, you think it's a political stroke for the regional independents to try and sit on the opposition benches. You're not, and we wouldn't stand over an accusation like that being levelled at the Ciarán Cóirlí.
I was going to continue and say, like, is it what is being proposed here is that effectively a group of nine independents who form a group, and they didn't go in as individual independents, they formed a group. They extracted commitments from Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in those negotiations. They now will have ministers, both in cabinet and junior ministers. And they're now trying to tell us that they also want to be in opposition. It makes a complete mockery of the Dáil. And Duncan Smith was right on Thursday when he described this as completely outrageous.
Do you have competing legal advice to tell you anything to the contrary?
Well, I'll tell you, we will be issuing a very strongly worded letter to the Ciarán Cóirlí on Monday.
Based on legal advice?
Absolutely, in respect of this, because it is our clear understanding, when you look at the standing orders of the Dáil, that there is a clear distinction made between the government of the day and opposition. And we have a group here that are trying to be both. And it is not acceptable. And the key thing...
Do you accept that there is a precedent for this? Fianna Fáil supported the Fine Gael Independent Alliance government before. They were the main party of opposition, but they supported the government on a confidence and supply basis. Michael Lowry and other regional independents in the last Dáil also supported the government by and large on a number of issues.
So the precedent stated in the letter, to our mind, is factually incorrect. Fianna Fáil and the confidence and supply arrangement in 2016 did not support the budgets. They did not support the Fine Gael Taoiseach at the time. They abstained, thereby giving the government of the day a majority. And so I think there are factual errors in the advice, and of course we have yet to see the advice given to the Ciarán Cóirlí. I think the other important thing to say here is that, you know, we've been saying that this is going to be obviously a test for the Ciarán Cóirlí. She's obviously from the regional independent group.
And that's why she's committed to doing things in the public eye.
And I want to be clear, and she stated very clearly the day she was elected that she was going to act without fear or favour. Clearly, the letter we saw last night has, made clear that she is open to hearing from the individual parties. We will be taking those steps on Monday to send her what we believe, what our legal advice is, very much to the contrary to what she is indicating in her letter.
Have you seen your own legal advice? Do you say that, having seen legal advice?
It has been formulated over this weekend, but certainly from the tentative advice that we received, since Thursday, it is certainly very much apparent to us.
Sinn Féin is also seeking legal advice. Will you be cooperating with them, or will you be acting separately in making your submissions?
Well, look, you know, we will be putting forward our submission to the Ciarán Cóirlí. Other parties are obviously free to do the same. If the Ciarán Cóirlí, you know, decides to act against what we believe to be the legal advice on the situation, then we'll have to see what happens then. And there may well be cooperation between parties. But in the here and now, the Labour Party is absolutely opposed to this arrangement. And I suppose for listeners who might go, what's all the fuss about? Okay.
Finally, briefly.
This is about depriving the opposition, right? Okay, cutting into the opposition's time to hold the government to account. And for the hundreds of thousands of people out there who do not vote vote for the three groups who make up the incoming government. They want to know, those voters want to know, that we will hold this government to account, particularly with the programme of government as we have it. And so, so this is a political stroke to try and cut into the opposition's
time. You've made
time.
That point already. So the relevant TDs are Michael Lowry, Barry Heenan, Gillian Toole and Danny Healy-Ray. And Marion Harkin, to you on this. As you understand it, if Barry Heenan, as reported, gets an assistant whip role in the coming days, does that preclude him from sitting in this technical group?
Well, good afternoon. But it's my understanding that Barry's role will be assistant whip, but assistant whip of the regional technical group. It's not a government role. It's not a paid role. It's just a role that he will have within the group.
Okay.
And
can I just clarify
that has any impact?
Yeah, no, I'd like to clarify just what that role is. So will Barry Heenan then be the interlocutor for the remaining members of the regional independent group who are sitting on the opposition benches and those who have taken up positions in government ministerial portfolios and in the weekly decisions on the business of government as well?
Well, my understanding is that's not the case. I mean, my understanding is that Barry has the role of, he'll be a teller and he's the whip of the regional technical group. I haven't ever heard the word interlocutor used. I mean, it's not something
I suppose,
in process at the moment.
So are you no longer in the region? Are you no longer in the regional independent group? I mean, so you're talking now about a regional technical group and he's the assistant whip of that. Does he have any role in, is that strictly on opposition business on the opposition benches?
That's my understanding. Okay, that's his role.
And as whip, I won't ask you to account for his job because obviously, he now intends to sit on the government benches. But I just want to ask you, because we were speaking on the late debate to you on Thursday night, and you were saying when in response to criticisms of the programme for government being vague and aspirational, and when people were asking, when I was asking you about what stamp the independents would put on the programme for government, where that would be seen. You said that maybe, you know, when it came time for decisions in the National Development Plan and local infrastructure projects, that's where the hand of the regional independents would be seen. So is that business done then? Is that why regional independents can go and sit on the opposition benches now, because the decisions have been made on the National Development Plan? Or will there be further discussions on the input into the National Development Plan, at which point those on the opposition benches begin further discussions with those sitting in the ministerial portfolios on the government benches and have an input into the National Development Plan?
Well, look, we have a review that's coming up and of the National Development Plan, and various TDs in government and out of government will be making submissions.
I know, but will they have privileged access?
I'm not sure what that means, to be honest with you, but my understanding is
okay, well, they have the same level of access to government? Sorry to interrupt. I'll clarify the question before you answer it. Will they have the same level of access to government ministers as they had when the programme for government was being constructed, over and above the level of access that opposition TDs would have about their local constituencies?
Well, my understanding is that my access will be as part of government if the Taoiseach so decides, and that the group that negotiated the agreement will have access to government ministers. How privileged it will be, I suppose, remains to be seen. But that is my understanding.
Right, but
that there will be, in order to make the case for their regions, for their constituencies, for their areas.
Just to be clear on that then. So you'll be getting the band back together for the purposes of input into the National Development Plan.
I am trying to be as clear as I can on a situation that is evolving. This is a new situation, and clarity is not always easy in a situation like that. And my understanding, and it may be flawed, but it's my understanding, is that there is access on the review of the NDP, how that impacts on what is happening now and on any new grouping, that has to be worked out. And it's the standing orders of the Dáil that will decide on that, that will... That's, I believe, what the Cian Chorla is being guided by.
Okay.
And she is, I believe, acting without fear or favour. And she has been very open to say that if opposition parties have an issue with this, that they are to put that to her and that she would consider it. And that she has interpreted the standing orders to mean
right.
that the situation as it is can
okay.
go ahead.
Okay, I suppose the distinction I'm trying to draw is if, you know, will people sitting on opposition benches be in a new arrangement whereby they have severed their ties with the independent TDs that are now sitting in government, or are they, to all intents and purposes, still part of the same group but using a technicality under Dáil rules to entitle them to opposition speaking time?
Look, this, as I said, it's evolving.
Okay.
And I it's very difficult to know exactly how it is going to work. But each of them were elected as independent, non-party TDs. They will not be part of government. They will not have influence on government decisions as part of government. This may be a bit Jesuitical, but it's something that needs to be worked out. The Cian Chorla has said she is open to hearing what the opposition parties have to say. I think that's reasonable, and I think we should be able to find a solution to this unique situation that has presented
okay.
itself. But having said that, it's really important to say there's precedent there. We had Fianna Fáil as the main opposition party, in
right.
a confidence and supply agreement.
Okay.
So the Cian Chorla is acting on precedent, and to me, that is what she must do, and we wish any further legal advice there might be.
Okay.
But it is evolving,
okay.
and we have
and
to wait
and
for
and
that.
And you have made that point, and sorry for cutting across you a number of times, but I did just want to clarify the questions, in some case long questions, that I was asking you. Mary Butler, to you, you're a member of Fianna Fáil. You were elected in 2016. So, you know, the confidence and supply precedent that's been cited, it's very different, isn't it? I mean, Fianna Fáil didn't stand up at the beginning of confidence supply and say, we'll be with the government in good days and bad, we'll support them even and explain and stand over some of the more controversial policies. I mean, you even went so far as to laying down a motion of no confidence in the health minister. I mean, so... It's a substantially different arrangement to that with the regional independents, isn't it?
So there are some similarities, but there are differences as well. So in 2016, the main reason why Fianna Fáil went into the confidence and supply agreement was in relation to Brexit, the uncertainty that was there, and there wasn't a clear majority for a government. And it was unprecedented, but that's why we did it. And it did last for over 4.5 years. I think what's been lost here, though, and I'm not here for any reason to endorse or support the regional independence group, but what I'm saying is they are not a political party. For anyone listening who might be confused by the whole debate, they are a technical group that mm-hmm. came together for speaking rights. Now, my understanding is that the ministers that have joined government have resigned from the regional independence group, so therefore they're no longer members. And I saw clarity on this morning. So the government will be treated as 91 members. So the 87 between Fianna Fáil
yeah.
and Fine Gael. The four ministers we know that are going to be part of the makeup of the government. And that under the standing orders that are presently in place, the members of the technical group are entitled to seek speaking time.
Okay.
And I think they are the rules that the Cian Chorla is working with
okay.
at the moment.
And to look at it from... The voters' point of view, and in terms of what they sign up to in a general election, they elect people, they go forward, they have a role. If somebody's in opposition, they get speaking time that's afforded to the opposition to hold the government to account. If there are members, independent members, who help to construct the programme for government, who've pledged to stick with the government in good times and in bad, and are then going to get opposition speaking time, could you see why people who maybe voted for parties who are on the opposition benches might feel shortchanged as a result of people who are going to support the government in all weathers getting the opposition speaking time.
So my understanding is that the four deputies that you mentioned earlier, Deputy Lowry, Toole, Heenigan and Healy Ray,
Danny Healy Ray,
they will vote with the government. They are not a member of the government. And they have applied for speaking time as a group in opposition, which under the current standard and orders, they're entitled to do so.
Mm. I can understand the kind of opinion that's been put down from
other people as well. But I do think the people who can clarify this are the Ciarán Cóirle with the advice that she's been given. And the fact that she has written, my understanding is, as you stated, she has written to all opposition parties and others to ask them if they wouldn't like to make, if they would like to write back to her by close of business Wednesday with other suggestions.
But the future arrangements say, so that if there are independent, regional independent TDs who are now sitting in this technical group, but when it comes time for, you know, access to making suggestions, shall we say, on the National Development Plan, do they effectively cross the aisle again and give submissions as if they were enjoying the status they had when they were formulating the programme for government?
So when, for example, the review of the National Development Plan will be underway, submissions come in from all parties, opposition and government.
Isn't there a big difference between somebody who is supporting the government in fair weather and in foul and somebody who is a member of the opposition?
Well, what I would say, an honest answer, that I would have worked constructively with all deputies who supported the government in the last all.
Marie Sherlock, you get your reaction to that first. What you've heard first. Do you see?
We're being asked to believe a situation here where the regional independents who are not going to get a ministry were in the room for the good of their health and now are going to go back to the opposition benches empty-handed.
Right. They'll support what's in the programme for government, but if other issues arise in the lifetime of the government, they're not bound to support the government on those issues, are they?
Yeah, well, look, the programme for government is so broad that, like, at the end of the day, there's lots that are covered in it that they, you know, at the end of the day, this is about 9 votes for the government, right? Whatever is written down. And they themselves have undoubtedly extracted agreement, even if it's not on paper, right? And yes, there will be a process. And yes, things need to be set down on paper. But I, for a moment, cannot believe a situation where those independents that signed up to the deal, that stood on the plinth smiling last Wednesday and said, we are supporting the government, that they have not extracted individual concessions.
I need to ask you, we are tight for time. But
Cormac, the one thing that's important here, right, trust in politics, right, has been declining. In fact, when you look at turnout last November, it was at an all-time low. And so we have this now farcical situation where, we have people in and out of government. Like at the end of the day, these are 9 people who have made that point.
Labour Party had an opportunity to be in government if they wanted to be, but they chose not. These people stood up to the plate and decided to support Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, who got a clear mandate from the voters last November.
I spent hours the week before Christmas, and any parent of a young child will know the things that we need to be doing before Christmas. We spent hours negotiating with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, but the gap was too big.
I want to go back to Marian Harkin on this. There's been some focus on the restoration, or not the restoration, but the granting of certain expenses, perks, if you will, the travel and subsistence allowances normally afforded to ordinary TDs being given to junior ministers. Do you support that move, Marian Harkin?
Well, just to make a brief comment, first of all, on what Marie said. She said, I can't believe that these TDs have not extracted individual concessions from government. That is simply not true. It may be her assumption, but in this case, it's simply an assumption that has no basis, in fact. So that can't be part of any argument as to what's happening here. We have to look at what the situation is regarding standing orders And we have to be guided by that without making assumptions. But to come to your question about the travel, not travel, but accommodation. I mean, for example, I live in Sligo. At the moment, as a TD, I get a certain allowance so that I can stay in Dublin two or three nights a week, that I can conduct my business in my my place of business in the Aulern. If I were to lose that, that's very significant for me. I don't have an apartment. I don't have anywhere I can stay. So in other words, if I were to not lose money as such, I would have to travel up and down to Sligo, which is madness. It's madness from the perspective of being productive at work. It's madness from the perspective of climate change. And it's madness. It's just something you just wouldn't do.
All right. And how much is the TD's pay, just for the listener, is 113,000 euro. And what's the travel allowance on top of that?
I think it's 24, 25. The ladies might know better than me. And I think it depends on how far from the Dáil.
It does, yeah. There are different zones.
It's not just about travel. It's about accommodation when you're in Dublin.
Okay. You support giving people expenses to cover that.
The same expenses that they would have if they were a TD. It's no more or no less.
Okay.
And unreasonable.
Mary Butler. Yeah.
I am one of those ministers of state for the last 5 years in the Department of Health. And I think people would acknowledge that it is a very, very busy department. So I would be there on a Tuesday night taking topical issues at 11 o'clock, and I would be expected to be back there on a Wednesday morning at 10 minutes past nine to take further topical issues as a Minister of State in a department. For me, I had to make a decision very, very on in the last 5 years to stay in Dublin Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, because from my own, health and well-being perspective, I just could not do a day's work and 5 days, 5 hours in the car every day. I just wasn't able to it. So I took that hit for the last 5 years. Chose to pay a Faro hotel two nights a week, come up Tuesday morning and go home Thursday evening. And I am glad this is being addressed, because there is an anomaly there.
Can I just tell you where the anomaly is? The person
who drives me, I have to admit now, we do have drivers, but it's still 5 hours up, you know, from Waterford in the morning and back in the evening.
But my driver
was entitled to an overnight, but me as a Minister of State was not.
Okay, so the basic salary for a TD is 113,679 euro. There is an allowance on top of that of 45,846 to recognise the role as a Minister for State.
Well, it's not an allowance. It's your pay for being a Minister of State.
It's your pay, and then travel and subsistence is on top of that.
Travel and subsistence, because I want to be clear on this, because I think it needs to be said. That is mileage. I have put 180,000 kilometres on my car in the last 4 years. So what you get in relation to mileage covers your service and covers your tyres and all of that. I don't think any politician or any Minister of State are trying to secure additional funding. But what I'm trying to say is that if you're living 3 to 3.5 hours from your place of work, it's five, six hours a day on top of your job. It can be very difficult. And there is an anomaly there, because other TDs are entitled to that overnight.
We have to take a break, Marie Sherlock, and I do have to ask you to confine your answer to a word. Do you support this?
No, because it doesn't make sense, right? A Minister of State has to drive, like the travel and subsistence allowance is to cover accommodation and travel, right? The travel is covered by the allowances.
We want to get on to recruitment in the health sector. We're going to deal with that after this break.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTÉ Radio 1.